I would like to go ahead and just start. If you can kind of walk us through your personal and political times when you crossed paths with Governor Briscoe, kind of share with us, first of all, your history together.
Well, the first I've ever heard of Governor Briscoe was through mutual friends that lived in Uvalde, and they said they thought this guy, that they thought Doc Briscoe may run for governor. And I thought to myself, how could anybody from Uvalde ever be elected governor? And truly enough, he wasn't the first time he tried, but he surely did do well the second time, and he was elected governor. And our paths crossed again. I met him there in Uvalde, and then subsequently one of the clients in my law firm was his campaign manager, and his campaign manager invited me to be a part of the campaign, and I did, and he was successful, and Governor Briscoe appointed me or asked me to be the Secretary of State, and for which I was greatly honored and served there for a number of years and got to know him even better. He was an unusual man who, although fabulously wealthy, he still had a touch for the common man, for the average fellow, very compassionate. He was easy to approach and talk with, and he was always concerned about other people's welfare. And, you know, walking out of the Capitol building with the governor of Texas is a pretty big deal, and he was always one to stop and talk to people who were coming into the Capitol to see it, from frequently from Texas people, but oftentimes people from around the country. And he was just one fine gentleman.
Describe for us what kind of governor he was when he was in the state capitol. What did he do for the state? How did he lead the state?
Well, first of all, the state at that time was in turmoil over the Sharpstown bank scandal, and as a result, his election restored integrity to the political process.
And do remind our listeners what the Sharpstown bank scandal was.
Well, it was a bill that was being passed through the Texas legislature to essentially provide state insurance and a loophole to avoid federal deposit insurance corporation coverage for a state bank. There were some suggestions strongly put and some indictments that were returned that some members of the legislature had accepted money or stock in favor of supporting that bill. And the outrage that occurred among the people over the nature of that legislation and the way it was being passed created an atmosphere of distrust for public officials in the state. Governor Briscoe ran as a reform governor who had later signed into law the bills passed during that legislature, including the open meetings law, the Open Records Act, and that sort of openness in government to promote sunlight on the legislative and executive functions of government, greatly improved and enhanced the confidence of the people in the way in which our governmental affairs were being administered.
And what were some other highlights from his time as governor?
He presided over, during that time, of all of the reform legislation that took place. There was a creation in 1975, I believe it was, of the Public Utilities Commission. Before that time, each public utility in the state set their rates at the city council level, and they weren't really prepared at city level to make a good determination of what the rate should be. So it was assumed that the state, with greater regulatory authority, would be able to help make better decisions on rates to be charged for electricity in the state, as well as also doing additional work in the utilities area. But he served 6 years. He was a governor who many people didn't think he was as active as a governor should be, but quite frankly, that was his style. It was not a lack of his ability whatsoever. His style was such that he waited till all the facts were in. Then he would make a decision based on what his judgment was as the best approach to solving problems. And it was a very good, he ran the government for 6 years and did it in a very good fashion.
And tell us a little bit about his life and times after he left the state capitol. How did he spend his time after he was governor?
Well, I think he was disappointed. Certainly he was, that he was not reelected. And he went back to his ranching interests there in Uvalde, Texas. He was a banker. He was a large landowner. He continued to increase in wealth, and he shared that wealth with many institutions. He was a big contributor to the University of Texas, which was one of his great loves. He was a Longhorn from start to finish, and there was no stronger supporter of the University of Texas than Governor Briscoe. He contributed financially to the creation of the Texas History Museum, the Museum for American History that's there at the University of Texas. He's a contributor to the University of Texas San Antonio Health Science Center. Also, he's has several libraries that he made significant contributions to in Uvalde and San Antonio and Austin. He was very generous with his resources, and his love for history was one of the paramount beneficiaries, I guess, of his wealth. He came from one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence. Andrew Briscoe was one of his ancestors who lived in Fort Bend County and still has land there in the Briscoe family, not in the direct lineage of Governor Briscoe, but one of his cousins. He played a big part of his life, an expanse of his life, over a great and very interesting period of Texas history and American history. As a boy, he grew up in Uvalde, but he traveled with his family, and I believe he was 9 years old. He spent his first night at the governor's mansion, which he said triggered in him an interest in one day maybe living there. And sure enough, he did, and made great contributions to our state.
The Texas State Democratic Party just had its convention over the weekend in Corpus Christi and is obviously gearing up for this November's elections. Is there something that the State Democratic Party today in 2010 can learn or take from the style and legacy of Dolph Briscoe?
The party can learn from his example, and that is that Texans generally are moderate to conservative in their nature. They're not wildly creative in what they would like their government to do. They would like to see progress in their government, but they don't want it to be untested progress. They want it to be measured.
Former Texas Governor Mark White, we thank you so much for your time today and your reflections on Dolph Briscoe.
Thank you.